Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight, along with his late wife Iris, founded a company in 1960 whose goal was to use creative science to solve scientific problems. For 5 decades, he's worked to create an alternative to fossil fuels. He's a modern-day Thomas Edison and is known as Michigan's Einstein. In 1999, he was selected as one of Time Magazine's Heroes of the Planet. His name? Stan Oshinsky. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the founder, president, chief scientist, and technologist of energy conversion devices, Stan Oshinsky. Stan, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
I'm glad to be on.
That was the longest opening I've ever had in my life here. Can we start by talking about your parents and your childhood?
Well, I was born in Akron, Ohio, and it's a quintessential industrial town, a very small edition of Detroit, gritty and hard hit by the Depression, like all parts of the country. It was called the rubber capital of the world. I was born in 1922, November 24th, and I grew up in a family of hardworking people who were immigrants from Lithuania, which was then part of Russia. My father, my mother from White Russia, Jewish, and my father was really a laborer. He was very much involved with horses. His family was in Europe. His father had been impressed in the Russian army, was in the cavalry for 30 years or so. And I grew up with a set of work ethic and values about society. I had a very good, my dad was particularly very good in exposing me to all kinds of information, science, technology, but more. I would go around with him in his truck. For example, he gathered steel from companies or scrap, not this paper and scrap business at all, but he was one of those people who had a lot of people who trusted him in industry. He collected their steel, their rubber, all did it by himself, and did not have a scrapyard or anything of that nature. He was a hardworking man. In Chicago, when he came in from Europe, he was a teamster that meant horses. He went out and laid track and did through the Northwest, put up telephone poles and broke wild horses on his spare time because he felt that they weren't being broken right by the cowboys. My mother came at a very early age, worked in a stamping press and as a child laborer in New York, came to Akron and worked in a factory, the rubber factory. In fact, one plant that I later, without knowing it, I worked in myself. It was a Miller plant too, part of the Goodrich Company later on. So I was very interested in the world around me. I read a tremendous amount. I did not get my education in the schools of Akron. I got my education in what was happening to Akron in the world and in the libraries of Akron. I worked as a kid on muck farms. That's on hands and knees, if planting celery 10 hours a day for 10 cents an hour. I worked with my father to help him out when whenever I could. It was back-breaking labor, the hardest labor I've ever had. I worked in the, I was very fascinated by the factories that we went into, the small plants, machine shops, larger foundries, and was got very excited about machines and in industrial life generally. I went to trade school as well as high school. Helped me get out of high school that way with having the credits. But I was very active in the community of Akron as a youngster, and I got a real education that prepared me for the future. And I learned a lot growing up and being in the Depression. I knew what the country ought to be like. I knew what the world ought to be like. And I knew I would set my life's goal that I would only do things that could build a better world.
How did you ever start down the path of finding an alternative to fossil fuels?
Well, fossil fuels, before anybody was thinking very seriously about it, I'm sure there must have been some people, but until it was really into the consciousness of the country, that when I started, there was not a consciousness. Everybody wondered why Harrison, I set up a storefront laboratory calling it on McNichols and near Schaefer and calling it Energy Conversion Labs. And that's because we wanted to use science and technology to solve serious societal problems. And we picked as our fields energy and information. I had been an inventor and a successful one since my teens. And that's really what brought me to Detroit originally. And I thought that we would do something about what I considered to be dangerous problems. For example, before the Second World War, I knew that there would be a Second World War. For one of the reasons is that we cut off Japan from its oil. I knew that energy was the basis of our economy. And in fact, the twin pillars of our economy was energy and information. And I thought we ought to start with that, and we did. And I had created a field called amorphous and disordered materials in the 50s with the help of Iris. And she was my partner when we set up the company. Actually, we did it at the end of 59, but didn't find a place to work out until January 1st. This is 1960, and we dedicated our lives to making sure that if we were successful in any way, that the kind of company we would have would be the kind of company we'd want to work for, and not to rise from our working people, but to rise with them and have conditions that would be that would create the options and abilities of people to be come forward so that they could grow to their potential. And so we felt that if you also produce jobs of higher value by building new industries, that this would open up new vistas for the industrialization of the United States and of the world. And we did projects that would make a difference to the world. And by the way, when you do that with new science technology, that feeds back on the educational system.
We're talking to Stan Oshinsky. When we come back, we'll ask him about his wife, his late wife, Iris. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Stan Oshinsky, who's a modern-day Thomas Edison. Stan, you and your late wife, Iris, were a real team. What was the key to having a husband-wife business team?
Love. We were intensely, completely in love with each other. And she was, she had earned her PhD. She was an equal partner, and she helped build everything and was instrumental in getting everything that we did that turned out to be a great experience for the people who worked for us and with us. I don't like to say for us, but with us. And she made sure that the science was right. She helped me day and night. We took very few, if any, vacations. We worked day and night, 7 days a week, and we did it because we both had the same values of serving society and making it a better one, and being and thinking about what we can do about racism, sexism, and any kind of things that were bothering people, civil rights and peace. We were very active in Detroit to do the right things and set an example for the rest of the world. And everywhere we went, we were very socially conscious, and we loved being creative. It gave us a joy. A friend of mine who was a famous physicist once wrote a book, The Joy of Science. So with the joy of science, with the commitment and dedication that you're building a better world and solving problems and helping people all over, why, what more could you ask for? We were happy poor. We were happy as we were starting making at least a living. We've been happy under every kind of times. And she is unique. I've got thousands of letters, cards, and many calls when she died, and it all said the same thing. She was a unique human being, and we had an incredible relationship.
How far can a car go with your battery today?
Well, the battery's in pure electric. We went as high as 375 miles. In hybrids, it doesn't matter because if you're using gasoline, the batteries just come in and out and give you a cleaner car, and at the same time drops the pollution and climate change gases tremendously, and therefore your dependence on oil. But the car I like the best, and everybody uses our Hovonic nickel metal hydride batteries because they're just hydrogen shuttling back and forth and being stored in a solid in the batteries. But we went further after that and made it all that hydrogen could be in a solid. And hydrogen is absolutely clean. No pollution, no climate change gas, no war over oil, and builds new industries. So we were able to show that before we stopped it. We showed that it could go 200 miles, and we would, the next one, if we can build it, we took a Prius, so we didn't have to build the car. We certainly would go 300 miles.
We're talking to Stan Oshinsky, who's earned approximately 200 patents.
350 to be exact.
I'm sorry. When we come back, we'll ask him about our sun, our star. I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.